morning. It's lovely to see you. It's been a long time since I've been here, pre-summer I think it was, but it's lovely to be with you again at this Christmas season. Can hardly believe it's almost here, yeah? Keep your Bible open at that passage and let's pray briefly together, can we? Father, we thank you so much for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to be giving and receiving presents soon, but Lord, the greatest present, the greatest gift was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your great gift of forgiveness, peace with heaven. We can have a rightness with you, a righteousness that's not our own, but given to us, covering for our sin. And Lord, life forever. And there is nothing like knowing your Son. And we pray that as your people today, we would appreciate that more than ever and live, Lord, every single day for the glory of Jesus Christ. Hear as we ask. Help as we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your Bible open, would you, at that passage, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 46. We'll actually refer to some previous verses, but really verses 46 to 56. 21 sleeps. That's it. 21 sleeps. And I guess maybe about, well, last weekend I was driving through Halewood and saw some sleighs up in rooftops and reindeers and Santa Clauses. Still in November, yeah. And I don't often go to the shops. I go under duress. But last Saturday, I went into Rivendell Garden Centre. I'm getting old. You go to garden centres on a Saturday. That's what you do, yeah. But they were playing all the Christmas songs. And you know Christmas is coming, don't you? Well, surprise, surprise, there are Christmas songs in the Bible. Shock horror, yeah? Some wonderful Christmas songs, Christmas carols. We have Mary's Christmas song. That's what was read to us. We have the song of someone called Zach. Let's call him Zach, okay? And we have the song of someone called Simeon. And the song of the angels, what a song that is. A poor teenager sings a song. A disillusioned Jewish priest, Zach, sings a song. Simeon, this old man, he's almost going to heaven, but he sings a song. And a bunch of angels, they sing to some humble, lowly shepherds out in the fields watching their flock by night. All songs sung before, around, and after the birth of Jesus. And each of these songs tell us what God is like. That's the common denominator. They give us a window into the character of God. Now, maybe you've never thought much about what God is like. Or maybe you have. Perhaps to you this morning, God is a kind of Father Christmas figure. For many, that's the case. A kind old gentleman in the sky, long grey beard. I've got a grey beard, but it's not long. But maybe that's the picture you have of God. If you're good enough, you'll be all right on the night. Perhaps there's a naughty and nice list somewhere, but it doesn't really matter. It's irrelevant because we all get presents at the end of the day. God, a Father Christmas figure. Or maybe to you, God is a kind of factory supervisor. You have a harsh view of God. He's got a clipboard in hand and he's marking you out of 10. Step out of line, bang. That's you finished. Zero tolerance. Step up or else. Or maybe you've read The God Delusion and you agree with Richard Dawkins that God is the most unpleasant character in all of human fiction. Thankfully, these Christmas songs that we're going to begin to look at this morning and we're always going to look at throughout December tell us God is none of the above. This is what God is truly like. According to Mary's song, the song of Zach, the song of Simeon, and the song of the angels. Well, this morning, Mary's song, her song starts in verse 46. Mary said, and you'll notice if maybe it has this in your version of the Bible, it's indented from here on in, indicating it's a poem or a song. Is it indented in your Bible? Indicating this is the song. My soul, from deep within, she's singing. My soul, from the inner depths of my being, I magnify. Or maybe your version says glorify. My version says, magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. This is what we call the Magnificat. It means magnify. She's magnifying God for who he is. Okay, first point. What is God like according to Mary's song? That's what we want to know, isn't it? What is God like? Well, her song, Mary, she highlights verse 49, God's might. This is what God is like, according to Mary. His might, verse 49. Verse 51, his strength. So here's the picture of God painted for us by this song of praise. God is a God of power and might and strength. I really shouldn't be surprised by that, because I did a bit of reading around the last couple of weeks, and first century songs of praise to the gods, small g, always emphasize the strength and might and power of their particular god. None of these songs of praise to the gods ever said, our God is weak. Our God is lacking in strength. No. Zeus and Apollo, all Greek and Roman deities, their followers sung of their God's power, their God's might. So in a sense, Mary's song here isn't unusual. Isn't any different from these other songs. But here's where it's different. Are you listening? She tells us how God uses his strength and power and might. How does he use his strength? How does he use his power? She says, to lift the humble. Isn't that good? To care for the broken, to help the hungry. Let's read what she says. Verse 46, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. Verse 49, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. And then verse 51, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. This is what our God does with his power and his might and his strength. He cares for the broken. Aren't you glad about that? He helps the hungry and he lifts the humble. And the word humble means those who see and sense their need of him. He lifts them. Someone who's desperate, someone at their lowest ebb, but looks to God. Like Mary here, her situation is most precarious apart from God, isn't it? So Christmas is about God coming, not to the sorted. No, God coming close to the needy and the broken and the humble, the desperate and the dependent. That's what God is like. He cares for, he lifts, he helps, he holds those who are weak. That's good news, isn't it? Notice what it says in verses 45 and 55. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Now we know that Mary was Jewish, and so as she speaks about Abraham, you know, she's speaking about the father of the faithful. That's how we think of Abraham, don't we? But actually, we need to think pre all of that. What was Abraham when God came to him? Abraham was a complete pagan. He was a nobody. He was a nothing. From nowhere. And yet God came to him. He came to Abraham. And his offspring, well, we think of Moses, don't we? You say, well, Moses was the prince of Egypt. I want you to picture Moses out in the desert, desperate. A vagabond, done for. And God comes to him there. And what about David, the king of Israel? Oh, before all of that, he was just a shepherd boy. He was the runt of the litter. And what about Ruth? She was done for. There was no hope for her. She was the plankton at the bottom of the social food chain, wasn't she? A Moabitess, for goodness sake. A no-hoper, but God comes to her. And we go into the New Testament, Abraham and his offspring. We're just picking out one or two. What about Mary Magdalene, possessed by seven demons? The woman at the well, an empty heart, as well as an empty water pot. This is our God. This is the story of the whole Bible. God reaching out to, God rescuing, God receiving nobodies, strugglers. We don't climb up to him. He comes down to us. Wonderful. Praise his name. Religion says only the good and great come in. The bad, the broken, stay away. Stay out. That's what religion says. The gospel says, if you think you're good and great, the song says, you'll be scattered. Whereas the broken and sinful are welcome. Those who see and sense their need, come. We sung at the very start, didn't we, about coming with empty hands, yeah? Remember the Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes? A description of the genuine Christian, blessed. The blessed ones are the poor in spirit. Those who come with empty hands, the poor in spirit. Nothing in my hand I bring. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek or humble. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Here's the promise of Jesus. They will be comforted. They will receive the inheritance. They will be satisfied. They will be lifted. That fits with the Song of Mary, doesn't it? Our God comes to the humble, lifts the needy, meets the need of those with empty hands. Here's the message of Christmas, and this is why we sing what God is like according to Mary's song. Second heading, what does God want according to Mary's song? Well, the same as he wanted for Mary. He wanted Mary to be part of his saving plan. He wanted Mary to come into the redemptive story. Martin Luther, the reformer, commented in this passage and said, there are three miracles surrounding the birth of Jesus in this passage. Three miracles. First miracle, God becoming a man. That's the miracle of all miracles, the uncreated creator of the universe becoming a baby. What a miracle. The infinite in Mary's womb, no bigger than a full stop. What a miracle. And then Martin Luther said the second miracle is the virgin birth. A virgin giving birth. And if you know anything about biology, you'll know that doesn't happen. It was a miracle. Absolutely. And then according to Martin Luther, the third miracle was this, Mary believing and obeying what she heard, that she was having the Messiah. That was a miracle because the repercussions for Mary were huge. She was engaged to Joe, but by saying yes to this, that was all in jeopardy. Massive implications, plus try to put yourself in her sandals. The fear, the uncertainty for Mary. Survival was the name of the game. Nevertheless, what does she say? Look at verse 38. Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Costly? Yes. Challenging? Yes. Yet she believed and obeyed. And what does God want from us? Well, not the bit about baby Jesus growing inside us, obviously not. But he wants us to believe. He wants us to trust him and to obey him, and he will come to us and make his home in. It will be disruptive. It will be transforming. Accepting his lordship turns everything on its head. It did for Mary. Let it be, Lord. But that's what he wants at this Christmas time. So what is God like according to Mary's song? Strong, mighty, powerful. But he doesn't use his strength like the pagan deities. He comes to the humble and the lowly and the needy and the broken and the hungry those who see and sense their need of him. And he lifts them to the highest heights. And what does he want? He wants us to say, "Let it be, Lord. I trust you." And he will come to us and make his home in us. Last question. How do we get to the point? How do we get to the place where we can sing about God and what he has done for us? Because you see, at first, Mary doesn't sing. Eventually she does, but at first she doesn't sing. No. What does she do? She goes to her cousin Elizabeth. That's what she does. And Elizabeth encourages her. Look at verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Do you see that? Here's Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, affirming her, reminding her, speaking truth to her, declaring the gospel over her. That's what Elizabeth is doing to Mary. And as a result of that, Mary begins to sing. So here's the point of the point. Here's the point of point three. We can't do the Christian life on our own. We can't. We need others. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's an amazing thing, it's an amazing blessing to have people around us, people that we can go to, and people who can tell us. You need to remember you're blessed of the living God. I need reminded of that. I think maybe you do as well, from time to time. Those who point us, those who direct us to God's big saving plan. And then we can start to sing, and maybe even sing together. Yeah? So what is God like according to this song? Strong, powerful, mighty. But he uses his strength to lift the humble. What does he want? He wants us to believe and to obey him. And when we do, he brings us into the saving plan. And when we don't feel like singing, reach out. Reach out to your Christian family. And maybe when you're down, the person beside you, they'll just be a little bit above you and they'll be able to say, "Come on, think of what God has done for us. And let's start to sing." And maybe, you know, it's you today, it's me tomorrow. Maybe next week, you'll be able to say to them, you can encourage them. You can do an Elizabeth on them and remind them of what God has brought us into. And then we can start to sing. In closing, here's the gospel. The God of all power and might and strength became a helpless baby. Wow. The God who owns everything became poor for us. Stable. A manger, a cattle shed, swaddling bands. The God who owns everything. The God who's clothed in light, unapproachable, the Bible says, hung naked on a cross. The God who is holy absorbed the full weight of our sin. And for the broken, his body was broken. His blood was poured out. For the needy, the humble, the hopeless, there's hope. Wonderful hope. And because of that, with Mary, we can sing a song of Christmas praise. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. God bless you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We love to sing. But Lord, when we think of the reason for singing, that helps us to sing with greater gusto. And even though we might be out of tune, Lord, we thank you that we can sing from our hearts. Our souls can rejoice and magnify you. Lord, we thank you. You're not like the pagan gods, some despot, some horrific dictator. Oh, we thank you. Although you're powerful, you come down to where we are at, where we're at, and you lift us. We're so glad about that. We're so glad that you brought us into your saving plan. Lord, it blows our minds that we would ever be part of this great redemptive story. Who are we? And yet, Lord, you brought us into that. And at times, as your people, we feel discouraged and we lose sight of it. But Lord, you've given us those who can remind us. We don't want to do the Christian life on our own because isolation is a dangerous place. And when we're tempted to be lone rangers, Lord, remind us that we're interdependent. And I pray that we would be like Elizabeth, that we would remind one another that we are blessed indeed, that we would speak the gospel over each other and thrill our hearts with the real significance of Christmas. And may we tell it abroad. Lord, may we be creative in turning conversations around and taking advantage of people thinking about these things at this Christmas time. Because we're living in a secular society and very few think about anything to do with the Bible. But Lord, at this time of year, they are singing carols. Maybe they're just thinking about a little doll in some kind of crib in the nativity scene. But Lord, I pray that we would just use that as a wee launching pad to tell them that the real Christmas story, according to the original script, it was God in the manger and the purpose for his coming. Born to die, that we might never die. Hear as we pray, please, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.